Turn with me in your Bibles, Luke 17. Just give me 15 minutes. Luke 17, verses 1 through 6. This is Jesus. How many of you love the Holy Scriptures?
Yes, sir.
This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, then he said unto his disciples, it is impossible. Everybody say it's impossible.
Impossible.
It's impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It would be better for him to have a millstone were hung around his neck and cast into the sea, then he should offend one of my little children. When he says children, he's not talking about just of age. He's talking about us. All of us are God's little children. When Jesus made this statement, it's so wonderful, because I've been to Capernaum where Jesus said this, and the millstones are still there. And you see where he was, and the millstones are right there, and the sea is like the parking lot. That's how close the sea is to where this millstone is. So you can see why Jesus said he's not just making this out of his head. He's using the things that are around him to communicate truth. He's going, guys, you have to forgive, and to offend someone that belongs to me, it's like take this millstone, put it around your neck, and we throw you into the sea. That would be better than for you to offend one of my kids. How many of you want to go to Israel with me? Come on. We took our oldest three to Israel a few years ago because I wanted them to know this is a real place. This is not Wakanda. This is not some Marvel fantasy place. This is a real place. Jesus really lived. Come on. Amen. He really died and he really rose again, and it like forever changed them. They were the only young people I saw on the trip. You know who I saw in Israel? Mainly was elderly people. Because Israel is one of those trips that everybody puts off until the end. The problem is when you're much older like that, you can't do a lot of the things because you're not able to, you know? And when we go, parents, start putting money aside now. Say, I want my kids to go. I want them to see this, to let them know Jesus lived. Amen. It's powerful. And Jesus said, verse 3, take heed unto yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass you seven times in a day, he turns to you and says, I repent, then you shall forgive him. And the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. That was their response. That's a lot of forgiveness, God. They said, we're going to need you to increase. Let's all pray it like the disciples. Everybody throw their hands up and say, Lord, increase our faith. Yeah, it takes faith to forgive. Okay? And the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So let's just talk about it for just a couple minutes. I love you guys. You okay? I love you. You all right? You feel tense. Are you okay? All right. Make sure y'all are all right, because Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, it's like a pinhead, you can speak to the sycamine tree. Now, Jesus, when he used this, I don't want to get off too much on the sycamine tree because I could preach a whole week on that. But the sycamine tree, it's like, why did he use a sycamine tree? Why did he say that? Because the sycamine tree grows when nothing else will grow. Bitterness will grow in your heart when nothing else will. Jesus said, it is impossible but that offenses will come. And I think sometimes we're looking for relationships or jobs or churches where there's no offense, because we think if there's offense, I'm not supposed to be here. This is not God. But Jesus told us it's impossible to have any relationship or be a part of anything where there is no offense. And we keep looking for churches and relationships and jobs where there's no offense. We keep looking for things that violate his word. He told us. This is impossible. So how do we handle, instead of like trying to find something where there is no offense, we have to learn how to handle offense and flush our heart And most people don't know how to handle offense. It's the number one reason people get out of marriages, jobs, and churches, is because they don't know how to handle offense. So if that's one of the number one reasons why people would leave a church, maybe we should talk about it. That's one of the number one reasons people quit relationships or careers. Maybe we should talk about it. Just maybe. Maybe everybody's not wrong. If five people can't stay married to you. If you've had more jobs and what your resume looks like a road map to Vietnam. You're 33 and been to eight churches. You can't keep a job. Maybe everybody's not against you. Maybe it's you. Maybe the fact that you showed up late every day had something to do with it. And you got along with absolutely no one had something to do with it. And you took the company products home and used them at your own. Maybe. You understand? Just to consider for a moment, maybe the problem might be in my own heart. Because I've been abused by relationships, and abused people tend to abuse people. And I need to allow the Lord to heal me. And if you would allow the Lord to heal you, your children won't have to be healed from having you as a parent. Because time doesn't heal. It's what you do with the time. And you allow the Lord to heal you. Time doesn't heal. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. And Jesus talks about offense. And he's like, you got to learn to flush your heart. Like Joseph. Joseph was thrown in the pit and then prison and ended up in the palace because he knew how to forgive, and he said, you meant it for evil, but God made it good. There are people in your life who will talk about you, lie about you, come up with all kinds, say all manner of evil against you, like Jesus said in Matthew 5. Maybe I'm the only one in here. Has anybody ever had anybody lie on them, reject them, talk about them, gossip about them? Am I the only one in here? Anybody else has ever had that? And you look back now and go, you know what? That was a blessing. At the time, I didn't understand it, but now I look back and I begin to realize that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And they meant it for evil, but God made it good. God made it good. And you want to be able to get to a place in your life where you can say, honestly, in your heart, if it had not been for the Lord, not if it had not been for Tommy and Billy and Susie and Jimmy, but if it had not been for the Lord. How many people have something in your life you know God did for you? It wasn't people. It wasn't any of them. It was the Lord did that for you. And you can honestly say, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for Jesus. And you've got to learn how to get rid of bitterness, because Jesus referred it to a sycamine tree. And a sycamine tree, like I said, will grow and nothing else will. A sycamine tree grows in dry places. Jesus said, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes into dry places. No one is attracted to dryness except Satan. You want all hell to break loose in your marriage? Let your marriage get dry. You want all hell to break loose in your walk with God? Let your walk with God get dry. No one's attracted to dryness. People don't even want a dry server at the restaurant today. What you want? Hurry up. No one wants a dry beautician. Hold your head back. No one's attracted to that. Right, or nail salon. I don't know about that, but I'm not against it if you go. I'm just saying. You should see Joanne's nails. They're worth, I got about $200,000 invested in her nails in 20-some years. But no one's attracted to dryness except Satan. A sycamine tree grows in dryness. It's hard. It's one of the hardest woods in all of Israel. Bitterness will make your heart hard. That's why one of the One of the things we pray almost weekly is, God, take out of me a heart of stone. You can sit in church and be hard. Can't weep. Feel nothing. Nothing. Hard. No emotion. No tenderness. And if you track it back, I guarantee you it started with a root of bitterness. It's a root. You got to deal with the root. And it's annoying to deal with it. When I get weeds that grow in my driveway, these cracks in my driveway, you know, and there'll be weeds in there in the summer, I just run over with the mower. First time I saw them come, I go, I just ran over the mower, and it came back. So then I got a weed whacker, and I hit it, and it came back. And I said, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to get down on my knees and pull this thing up by the root. And until you're willing to get on your knees in prayer and say, God, you got to deal with this root in my heart. You know the other thing they would do with sycamine tree wood? They make caskets out of it. To this day. If you don't deal with that bitterness, they're going to bury you in that. Bitterness will defile you. That's how you know you got around. You know how you know you got around someone with bitterness? Is when you're done talking to them, you feel defiled. You feel stressed, anxious, confused, because they're bitter. And bitterness is a cancer, and cancer never stays where it starts. When my sister was diagnosed with cancer, my little sister is like a girl version of me. She is like a 10, like go, 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 you know? And she's like in the medical field. She's just like, she's very aggressive. And when she got cancer, and I don't mean that in a negative way towards her, just she's a go-getter, you might say it like that. But when she got diagnosed with cancer, everything in her world came to a screeching stop. And everything immediately, the next day, pivoted to this. You don't get a cancer diagnosis and go, I'll get to it. I'll come, I'm kind of busy right now. No, your life comes to a screeching halt. And you immediately, everything goes to fix this. Because you can't wait on this. Because it's not waiting. And if you don't deal with it, it's going to deal with you. That's how bitterness is. If you don't deal with bitterness, the Bible says if you don't deal with bitterness, the root of bitterness, it will grow in you and it will defile you. And it will not only defile you, it will defile everyone in a home. Let one person in your house get bitter and watch how it doesn't destroy the entire home. One person in church can get bitter, and every person connected to them will become defiled. It's like you have a bowl of apples and you have one with mold on it, and it will ruin all of them if you don't move that one. Come on, am I right about it? It will defile all of them in a moment. It'll defile everybody. That's how it is. You have to deal with it today. And you have to have a system of flushing your heart. When you get offended, who counsels you? Who do you go to? Who are you going to go to? I'm offended at my husband. Who counsels you? I'm offended at my wife. Who counsels you? I'm offended at what Pastor Jonathan said. Who counsels you? Who counsels you? Is it the scriptures? Or is it Sally and them? And I don't know if your name's Sally. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just... Who is it that counsels you? Because a lot of you end up calling people who are bitter. girl, you should just leave him. I done told you, a man's going to be a man's going to be it. And she done lost her man. And she trying to counsel you about your man. Child, if it was me, I wouldn't take it. That's why it ain't you. You got to be careful who you let speak into your life. Is it the scriptures? Jesus says things like forgive. Forgive. Forgive 70 times 7. If you do the math, it's like every minute of the day. Forgive all day long. What? I don't want to do it. I know you have to die to yourself. You have to get up in the morning and die. Every morning, Satan will offer you a crossless day, a day without the cross. And if you do not die, sin reigns in your mortal body. Listen to me. I've been pastoring now 21 years. I've been in full-time ministry 25 years. I promise you I know what I'm talking about with this. People who say they're struggling with sin. The fact that you're in the room today does not mean you're saved. Being in the room doesn't mean you're saved. You can be here and be on your way to hell. I'm just saying you die today and you're not saved, you're going to hell. There's people here who are in living in sin, fornicating, addiction, all kinds of sin in their life, just in sin, but here. Yeah. You can be here. I thank God you're here. But that doesn't mean you're saved. What the proof of your salvation is not church attendance. The proof of your salvation is freedom. Where you're free from sin. Jesus said, he whom the Son has set free is not free sometimes. He whom the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. Can you control the members of your body? That's how you know you're saved. Yeah. Is you no longer what Christians call, this is what they call it, I'm struggling. Now, and I don't, there's no condemnation. So if you say it, I'm not condemning anybody. But struggling is Christian for still committing sin. Okay? When you do not die to your flesh, sin reigns in your body. Okay? And you will find your life, your whole Christian life, you will struggle with sin. Okay? Jesus never fought sin. When you die to sin, you no longer fight it. You fight Satan. Jesus, you don't see Jesus saying, Lord, help me with this. I'm struggling with that. I'm dealing with this. Help me not to do that. Jesus never prayed prayers like that because Jesus won the battle of sin. What you do see Jesus doing is casting out demons, setting people free, healing the sick, raising the dead. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? This is the fight we're all supposed to be in. Breaking generational curses off our family. Amen. Rebuking demons off our children. Amen. Setting the captives free. Healing the sick. Opening blind eyes. This is where we are supposed to be. Yeah, this is why Jesus said, greater works than these will you do because I ascend to my Father. We're supposed to live here, but we can never get there because we're dealing with sin. And so sin becomes this distraction. And it becomes your whole life is God set me free from sin. Help me not to do it. Your whole prayer life is freedom from sin, freedom from sin, freedom from sin, freedom from sin. You have to die daily. It's not come down to the altar, pray one prayer and you're good. No, you have to do that every morning. Jesus said, if any man wants to be my disciple, let him first deny himself, pick up his cross daily. Not that one time at an altar at church. Daily, everybody say daily. Daily, and follow after me. And if you don't do it, the day you don't do it is the day your flesh wins. And then you find yourself that day struggling with sin. And you end up with a knot of sin and distraction. And there is no prayer about deliverance and freedom and rebuking the enemy off of this and healing and miracles and all. You don't live in that world because you live in the world of addiction. You live in the world of fornication. You live in the world of sin. And you never experience freedom. And then Satan starts to tell you a lie. Everybody sins. You can't live a life free from sin. And so you just, you start decorating your prison cell. Because you've given up on the, I'm boring you. I don't want to bore you. You've given up on the miracle of freedom. And you've just, let's make the best we can out of slavery. But Jesus died to set you free. That's why the Bible says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There's nothing to go back to. But a dead life. This is why the Bible says in Colossians, find it for me, Andrew. Come, Jeremy, real quick. The Bible says you are, the Bible says in I think it's Colossians 3, it says, for you died. Everybody say, for you died. You died. Take this off. This here. Yeah, a little cold. You died. Everybody say you died. You died. When you get up in the morning, you have to die. Well, I don't want to. And when you don't do it, you will struggle with sin. You died. And your life is now, do you find it? Your life is now hidden in Christ. Hidden. Everybody say hidden. Hidden. So when you die,
I knew you meant that.
Jeremy's dead. And the reason Satan doesn't attack you with sin, or you're not tempted with sin, is because he can't find you. He can't find you. Why? Because your life is now hidden in Christ. This is why Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So when you die in the morning, you are hidden in Christ. Because you died. Give Jeremy a big God bless you. I love you. Did you find it? What is it? Colossians 3:3. I knew it was 3. I quoted it. Colossians 3:3. I couldn't remember the verse, but I knew it was Colossians 3. Colossians 3:3. For you died. Everybody say, for you died. You don't call dead people. You don't look for dead people. All the people who trying to find you, get you to do this, sleep with you, get drunk, they stop calling you once you die.
That's right. Amen.
They don't say you died. Here's what they say. You changed. And when they say it, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because that means I'm dead to them. I'm dead to them. I'm dead to him. He ain't call me no more to come over. I'm not, because I'm dead to that. And Satan can't do nothing with me. Because he can't find me. Because your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, and that wicked one touches you not. Because he can't find you. And if you don't do that, you live a life of struggling, fighting in your flesh. I'm trying to get free from porn. I can't. I'm trying. Help me, Pastor. I'm struggling. I'm trying. And you in the fight. You fighting. You are the one fighting it. You couldn't save yourself. That's why I keep telling you, Christianity is not about trying hard, struggling. The person who says they're struggling, they're trying hard. It's not you, it's surrender. You have to just surrender. You have to just die. And once you die, he lives in you. He lives in you. And then he anoints you with authority and power to take over and to take authority. And you will never get there. I could pastor you for decades. You will always be struggling until you die. And I can't do it for you. We all have to do this. And when you learn forgiveness, and you say, God, I'm not going to let bitterness and forgiveness in my heart. Yeah. I'm not going to let it come in. I'm going to learn to wash and flush my heart. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to trust you to make it good. Yeah. I'm not going to let a root of bitterness. They're not going to bury me in this. They're not going to bury me in this. I will not. This is why, you know why Jesus is on the cross. They're nailing him to it. Let me say this and we'll go. They're nailing him to it, spitting on him, cussing at him, revile, demonic. And what's he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did any of them ask for forgiveness?
No.
No. Because forgiveness is a gift you give yourself.
Yeah.
No one said, Jesus, forgive me. But he went, I can't die with bitterness. I can't die with hatred in my heart. I will not go to the tomb with bitterness in my heart. So, we're going into Thanksgiving. We have some family. Let me just say it this way. Every family tree bears some nuts. And if you don't think so, you might be. But God gave them to you. So this Thanksgiving, we're going to love, forgive. We're the medicine. We're going to serve. I'm not looking for equal. I'm not looking for, you know, oh, well, you, no. I'm dead. To me, my will, my agenda, love, serve, forgive, grace, healing, mercy. You have it to give. Because God gave it to you. Nobody's asking you to give what you don't have. You have forgiveness because you've been forgiven. You have mercy because he has been merciful. Give it with love and watch God give you more. Watch God give you more. Bless them all. I don't want anything. I'm here to whatever I can do. Love, forgive, heal, mend. Jesus, be Jesus to your family. Say, hey, we're going to church. What? We have the parade to watch. Parades don't save people. You need to come. We're going to believe God to heal mom. They're going to pray for the sick. God to heal my sister. We're going to all come and pray. It's going to be beautiful. We've never done it. Let's do it. All these years, we've never done it. We know what Thanksgiving is like. What? How much better could it be if we all died in the morning? I think you'd have a better Thanksgiving if everybody died Thanksgiving morning. And Jesus lived in your heart. And some of you are going to need a service just to make it through Thanksgiving. God, help me shut up. Help me keep my mouth shut. Lord, please forgive me. One of the greatest blessings God, or gifts God could ever give you is the gift of shutting up. How many of you ever messed your life up because you couldn't? I'm telling you, the Bible says quietness and confidence shall be your strength. One of the greatest strengths of character is learning to hold your peace. Did you get something out of this today? Give Jesus a praise.
Hey, if this sermon blessed you and your family, I want to encourage you to be a truth partner. You can do that by simply going to creativechurch.com/give and partnering with us to help get this message of truth out to more people in our nation and around the world. It is our truth partners that make this a reality. Again, thank you for subscribing to our channel. Thank you for liking today's video. We'll see you back here on the channel real soon.